Hello, everyone. This is your girl, Shade, reporting live from Wit and STEM Podcast. Thank you for tuning into another episode and being loyal. You know, just the other day, I was checking the podcast stats, and not only do we have people listening across the US, we have people from Canada, Germany, Ghana, Italy, and Tunisia. And that is crazy. I never expected this podcast to reach, you know, outside the US. So thank you, listeners, for listening and continue to share. I hope you all enjoyed your Thanksgiving break and had some time for yourselves from school and work. I don't know about y'all, but I definitely needed a break. For our first-time listeners, this is season one of the podcast titled How It Started Versus How It's Going, where we interview successful STEMinists to hear their journey into their field and how they're winning in STEM. Today, I have Ivanetta Smith with me. She's an engineer that works with the Navy. So Ivanetta, on my podcast, I really don't do introductions. I like my guests to introduce themselves, and I want this to be a time to, you know, showcase your accomplishments, your success, telling the listeners who you are, what you do, and just brag about yourself. In the media, we really don't hear enough positivity for people of color, so I want this platform to showcase us in a positive way. So the floor is yours.
Wow. Thank you so much. Shadi, I'm just thankful to be here. Yeah, my name is Ivanetta Smith. Currently, I'm an engineer for the Navy. I live in Maryland, and I hold a bachelor's of science in mathematics, as well as a master's in civil engineering. My undergrad, I went to a Bennett College for Women in Greensboro, North Carolina, and my master's, I went to North Carolina A&T State University. So both my degrees are from HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, and just excited to just share with whomever of the goodness in STEM and minorities in STEM.
Perfect. Thank you. So what made you pursue a degree in STEM? Like, what age were you introduced? Did you have any family or mentors that inspired you to go into STEM?
Here's the funny thing. The funny thing is I was undecided in my undergraduate career until my sophomore year, really the latter part of my sophomore year. You know, I was away from school, so it was like, wasn't really focused. And I was thinking I was going to be a business major. And with the ambiguity of it all, I always believed I'd be doing something cool, just not knowing what that was. So my undergraduate professors saw in me what I didn't see in myself regarding math and how quickly I took to it. I didn't even realize it myself. And so kind of after that, the rest is history. Like, they just started working with me and gearing me towards math. And as early as I can remember when I was a kid, this goes back to kind of the age I was introduced to STEM. I was about 8 or 9 where my mom noticed, like, I would put Lego sets together by, like, looking at the picture and very minimal instructions. And of course, my mom was bragging, like, oh, my baby's going to be an architect. She's going to be. And at 8 or 9, you know, you're like, okay, that's what I'm going to be. And so my mom took me to New Jersey Institute of Technology when I was like 14 or 15 to sit in like a drafting class. And, you know, as a typical teenager, I was not really intrigued by that class. I was, you know, really was like, this is boring. And then my mom started saying, well, you're going to be an engineer. You're going to be something. STEM related. And I didn't even know what STEM was. She knew, but I didn't. And so other folks that kind of influenced me outside of my mom was definitely my dad. You know, my mom was the encourager, but my dad was like the one who made sure I knew my basics of math at like like the age of six. Like I knew how to multiply, add, divide. He was big on that. And then, of course, when I got to college, my college professors were instrumental by far with getting into STEM.
Did you believe that your high school, you know, the classes that you took helped you with your transition and taking, you know, the heavier math classes and engineering classes in college?
Another funny fact, I was not good at math in high school. Like, I think the highest math I took was pre-calculus. And the irony of it all, I look back on it, I was not developed then. I was definitely challenged because school, mostly all my elementary and high school academia was, I guess, parochial schools, like Roman Catholic schools. So I was a minority in like all of my growing up, right? Like that was the norm. And so when I graduated from high school, I didn't even know HBCUs existed until my mother showcased some information and like sent me on this HBCU bus tour. So I went to North Carolina A&T, we went to Spelman, we went to Clark Atlanta. You know, they do this bus tour, it takes some kids out of the inner city of New Jersey and take us all the way down to the South. And there I saw like Black people, like engineers, like students and teachers who look like me. I was just really flabbergasted. I was like, this, what? Like, and so I told my mom, I want to go to a HBCU. But, and it was ironic. I not only didn't I know HBCUs existed, but I thought, well, the world is like this. Like if you go to NJIT or Rutgers, or because I'm from New Jersey originally, they're mostly predominantly white institutions. I thought that was what life was. You know, I'm a kid, I'm a young person, you know, so I didn't know. And I missed seeing people who looked like me flourishing growing up outside of my family, like outside of my family and some of my friends. It's like, I guess this is the world we live in, but no, the world is a lot bigger than just predominant, you know, public white institutions. And so definitely I didn't see it for myself. And I just want to make a point that it's so important that students or parents are putting their students around people who can see things in their children, good things in their children, to pull it out of them and guide them into STEM. STEM is for us. STEM is for them. When I talk to my students, STEM is for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. You had that HBCU tour. Because for me, I'm originally from Massachusetts and I went to a PWI. So I did not know anything about HBCUs till I got to college. And then, you know, everybody wanted to go to the Howard homecoming. That's when I was like, oh, wait, there's schools, universities just strictly for people of color?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's amazing that you had that early, you know, introduction and you were able to see, you know, people thriving in STEM at that early age.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
So can you briefly describe the biggest challenge you faced in school as a person of color? This can either be your undergrad or your graduate degree and how you overcame.
Mm-hmm. I know, first thing I want to say, exposure is everything. So if a person is not exposed to something, how can that person envision something for themselves being that if they haven't seen it, right? If they're not exposed to it, right? So, and you know, at HBCUs, it's different, right? Pretty much everybody there is a person of color. So it's euphoric in a way that everybody in your class resembles you. And so you see Black engineers, and I know we're talking about STEM, but then you see Black nurses, Black lawyers, like up and coming. It's amazing. It's like it does something to the psyche of a Black youth, especially, you know, when I was coming through early undergraduate career. And, you know, to see other smart people of color, it was drastically different than my high school education. You know, having representation is huge. And I really can't stress that enough. Representation matters. And I think for me, it was hard to even see myself excel or do well in STEM because I never really saw a real live person of color doing it until I went on that HBCU tour. Like my mom, she was a educator. So she's a teacher. My dad was a mechanic, like, you know, and so it's a lot of blue collar folks in my on both of my sides of my family. So I'm a huge advocate for HBCUs. And I would say a challenge that I faced like in school was just not seeing me represented in a good light. Like there, you had the athletes and you had the cheerleaders, you know, this is high school, but you never really saw like somebody smart and black and cool. Let me add that other qualifier there, and cool, because there were some smart black people in my high school. It's just, it wasn't cool. So,
yeah, I definitely attest to that in high school because I took a lot of advanced classes, honors classes. I was considered a teacher's pet because they're, you know, people were shocked, like, wow, like you're a black female and you're doing well. And you like school?
Yeah.
And teachers like you? Yeah, so the representation is definitely key.
Yeah.
So as a HBCU grad, did you receive all the support you needed to be a successful engineer?
Most definitely. At HBCUs, it's like a huge support system of folks, right? Just, you know, people trying to make it and wanting others to make it as well. You know, I've been out of school about 13 years and I still keep in touch with my professors and colleagues to this day. Like the friendships I made back then, I still keep in touch. And all my professors, I want to make it clear, they were not all black, but they all shared the same sense of like accomplishment or a good sense of pride that we are developing the next level or next generation female engineers, right? Like, because my undergrad, like I said, I went to Bennett College, which is an all female institution. And so they most definitely geared a lot of the young women to math and computer science. I just kept with math because I wasn't really intrigued with coding that much and stuff like that. But most definitely, it's a huge support system of people who there's a common goal for folks to graduate and be successful post-graduation. Like, period. Or at least that was my experience.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. So in school, were you a part of any STEM clubs? And if so, were there any specific skills or network or opportunities that help you for your transition into the professional world?
Yes. What amazes me is that when I was in undergrad, I was the math and computer science club president, where it was through that I began honing leadership skills, you know, learning how to serve other people, and learning about networking and professionalism and public speaking. By far, that was the beginning. And then I transferred that into my graduate career on a broader scale when I began getting involved in NSBE, as well as SWE, and then traveling, going to the regional conferences. And then now in my adult career, public speaking is vital. I think is a vital tool for engineers because, you know, we can be so engineer-y where we don't hone those personal skills, like those speaking skills. And so back in 2014 or 13, I joined Toastmasters International, and I've been in there ever since. Like, it's great. It's a great outlet for me to just give them briefs, like without using certain words, so I can, it's sensitive information, I don't share that, but it's a great sounding board and they give you really good feedback. So, but I think definitely it all started back in that math and computer science club where I had to get in front of people that I kind of knew, but it's one thing to talk with people, but then it's another thing to talk to people. And that is something that peer pressure or that lump in my throat, you know, I've come to love that because it's like, hey, you can do it. You can do it. You can get over that fear. So.
And also, like in college, like the STEM clubs and organizations, they're a great way to, you know, start building yourself personally and professionally and just, you know, overcome your fear. So once you, you know, after practicing and you'll be all set or at least a step better once you get into the professional world.
Absolutely.
So what were the steps that you took that led to your current role working with the Navy?
Great question. I would say the biggest thing or the biggest step I did do was just to keep going. Like there were times where I wanted to quit and I did take a small break, right? But I kept going and regained focus to go the extra mile to see the project to completion, whatever it may be. Like my current role right now, I'm working in a regulator's office based, I don't know if you've heard of this group, Naval Reactors. It's basically the headquarter agency for the nuclear side of the Navy. And what led me to that role was kind of like just head down, trying to solve as many problems as I could, get involved, get involved in whatever I could help and support and provide a result, like something. So with, you know, without listing too much information, I was able to coordinate a project that could help with Navy's docking of ships, their the keel blocks, if you will. I was able to coordinate that, get some funding, coordinate the funding, all of that. And so I was nominated by my host command to go get detailed to Naval Reactors to get that nuclear experience. And like I said in the beginning, I'm a civil engineer by trade. I'm not a mechanical engineer. And so just the experience I've been getting from working in NR, because that's a little shorthand for Naval Reactors, it's going to help me to my next place. And the biggest step, like I said, I just kept going. I you can't let the hurdles hurt you to where you stay on the sidelines. You got to keep going, got to see this race through.
Definitely agree. And, you know, if there are any hurdles that you do come across, I'll always go out and seek help, seek assistance and advice to help you overcome that hurdle and keep on going.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So can you speak to any challenges that you face in your career, how you address those challenges, and if they ultimately helped you move forward in your career?
Yes. Recently, while being detailed to NR, I had to face the realization that, you know, we as a people have come a long way, especially in STEM. We have countless leaders in STEM. But I had the realization that we have a way to go. And so a challenge I faced was when I came to NR, I literally was the only person of color that was an engineer on like a civilian who's an engineer. All the other people of color are administrative personnel or they work in the financial office. And so that was not normal for me. I haven't experienced that really since high school. And so, and even when I've been on travel pre-COVID and post or during COVID, it's still a handful of people of color, men and women in the room. Like it's not normal, you know, and I guess maybe it's due to the nature of the work being nuclear in nature. You know, this organization I support now, you know, they have a 4-star admiral, and after the whole George Floyd situation and all the uprising and things like that, he started having roundtable discussions that they were very transparent about what the folks at NR can do to change the culture within NR. And so some input I gave was for them to go to HBCU college fairs, you know, go to North Carolina A&T State University, shout out Aggie Pride, you know, that's my home school. But also if they wanted to stay local, they can go right up the road here to Morgan State University, who also has an excellent engineering program. And so all through my career, I had to persevere because it's like, who else is going to do it but you? Who else is really going to keep one foot in front of the other but you? And so those have been my challenges so far, and still am working in, you know, still speaking up, still voicing, putting a voice to a concern that's not being heard or addressed.
So as a Black feminist, we sometimes find ourselves as the only person to call in the room. And you mentioned that you're the only, you know, Black female civilian engineer, you know, working with the Navy on your program. Have you ever felt that you had to turn down your Blackness or change yourself to be accepted?
Not necessarily turn it down, but being mindful of how I'm perceived when I enter a room and no one in the room looks like me. When I open my mouth, how am I being heard? Am I, you know, I never had to think like that until I really came to this detail. Even when I worked in my host command, I'm still one of a few people of color, but at least the energy or the vibe in the room is not so strict, if you will. Like, it's not so noticeable, because at least there's more people of color in my host command than this command that I'm supporting now. So I wouldn't say I'm turning it down. It's like some people who, you know, don't share my same skin color, they don't have the same experiences I do. And so what I may think is a slight, or they're trying to be rude, they really don't know. They really are ignorant. They really don't know. And so having these transparent conversations is help for both them and myself. It does get a little draining because I personally feel like, why do you not
explain ourselves?
Yeah, like how do you not know that that's rude? How do you not know? So, and I do address comments when I hear them, whether it's comments addressed to me or around me, because the things I've heard, I'm like, that's not cool. That's not cool at all.
So as, you know, a person of color, what is a great way to stand out and be seen as an asset on your team?
With the organization I support now, technical competence is what drives this organization. Like, it's heavily engineered focused. So there's work going on that I'm doing, right? Like I said, I'm not a nuclear engineer, but I'm familiar with their product lines and their functions. And that's why I'm able to get the work done and not just amaze other people, but amaze myself, because just because I don't have the mechanics or whatever to how this system may work, I know some of the functions in the product lines. And so for me, getting that level of technical competence, I am working on that as well. Like, and networking, that's how I'm working it. I'm networking, getting an understanding of the issue that I'm actually being tasked to work on, or whatever the project is.
So do you have any advice for anyone that's going or thinking of pursuing a STEM related degree or career?
Yes, do it. STEM is for them. I tell people all the time, math is just a way of thinking. It's a language. It's really no different than Spanish. You know, once you learn the basics, you can then build from there. Just like Spanish is basically a second language in this country for most of us, STEM should be as normal to major in, if not more normal, or it should be streamlined. Like, STEM is now, and STEM is the future.
Do you think there's a certain time frame or a certain age where, yeah, if you reach this point, there's no point in getting into STEM? Do you believe that?
I do not, because anyone can learn anything if you have a will to do it, a desire, and consistency. You can learn anything.
I definitely agree. Whatever age, is never too early, is never too late to learn a new skill, a new trade, and especially, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, they're constantly changing. Every year you have different technologies. For example, like AI, machine learning, that didn't exist 10 years ago, but look at us now. And who knows what new technologies or sciences that will come in the future. So definitely agree. If you're interested, go get it and learn about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And our last question. So for our listeners, what is your number one tip, advice for them to win in STEM?
I would say a tip or advice I would give is don't allow anyone or anything to intimidate or keep you from getting the understanding. You know, I look at it this way. All we get to keep is what we understand. If you don't understand something, get a tutor or tutors, get more than one. Also get a mentor or more than one, someone who is where you want to be or is on their way there, who will tell you the truth in love, who will encourage you, give you that tough love that we all need at times. But that's what I would say. Don't allow anything. And when I say anyone, yourself is included.
Yes.
Don't let.
We can be our own worst enemies sometimes.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ivanetta, for spending time with us today. I enjoyed hearing your story of your journey in STEM, you know, as a female person of color in engineering. Can you share with us where our listeners can connect with you?
Oh, wow. I am on Instagram. My Instagram is Ivy Loves To. So IveyLoves, the number 2. I'm also on Facebook, Ivy Smith. And Twitter, same thing, Ivy Loves To.
Perfect. I'll insert your contact information in the podcast description. Awesome. But yes, once again, thank you, Ivanetta, for supporting the podcast, for reaching out to me. Thank you so much. And shout out to Nesby.
Yes.
And thank you, listeners. And as a reminder, please make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and Google Podcasts to hear our episodes first when they're released. And if you're on Instagram, make sure to follow us at the Win in STEM Podcast. I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode. And until next time, y'all be great and go out and win in STEM. Thank you.